Mr. Lazenby, reel 2.
And then, when all the meals were laid out, we sang grace. For these and all his mercies, may God's most holy name be praised. And then we turned round, sat down, and got on with our food. When they think you'd had enough time for your food, you had to pass all your plates to the end. Just you pass your plates to the end, you passed all your plates out to the end of the mess, and then you had a little wooden sweeping brush, scrubbed white, of course, and you swept the table right down, passing the brush from one to the other, and the other one had a dustpan. You just put all the crumbs in the dustpan. Then you marched out.
Now, how was the food actually prepared and issued?
The food was prepared by the civilian staff in the galley, and it was just dished out in 16 portions to a dish, which the boys collected from the galley and brought to the mess.
I see. And how were cooks of the day organised?
The cooks of the day were only organised. Two did 24 hours at a time. You all took it in turns, two at a time, to do 24 hours. Their job was merely to fetch the food from the galley, wash up afterwards, and return all their dishes to the galley. And the crockery remained at the back end of the mess, and they scrubbed out the mess, kept it clean.
Did scrubbing out the mess have the same kind of regimentation?
Yes, yes. You scrubbed all the tables together, you scrubbed the stools, and then put the stools on the table, and then you scrubbed the floor.
In numbers again?
Numbers again, yes, with a scrubbing brush. The centre aisle was lino, but the under the mess tables were all scrubbed white wood.
Whilst we're talking about eating, perhaps you could tell me what the meals consisted of and what meals you had.
At breakfast, of course. And
was there anything before breakfast?
No.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
No, breakfast was the first thing you got. And that was... There was porridge at times. I remember kippers. But I don't remember having eggs and bacon. We got plenty of bread and butter. We call the bread toke and the butter flop. But the dinner meal was always a good meal, good cooked in meat and potatoes and veg, and usually a pudding of some sort, maybe a spotted dog.
What's a spotted dog?
Spotted dog is a like currant pudding, you know?
Oh, I see.
Like a boiled pudding with currants in it.
Sort of rolled up with currants inside.
Yes, spotted dog is all that. Tea, we just got bread and jam. Didn't get cakes. We got cakes once a week. We got a piece of currant cake every Wednesday for tea. And then we didn't have any supper, but in the gymnasium there was a table set up with cocoa and biscuits and cheese. The biscuits were the old ship's biscuits, as hard as iron, and a bit of cheese and a mug of cocoa. That was the finish.
So that was a sort of supper?
That was a supper, yes, that's all you got. You didn't go into the dining room for that.
Was that at a special time? A set time?
Yes, that was a special time, but I can't think what it was. Mm-hmm. It might have been 7 o'clock because we were in bed by about 8.
I see.
No, turned in early and out early.
Mm. Well, going back to the routine of the day, we've now reached 9 o'clock in the morning. What happened then?
9 o'clock, we all mustered in the gymnasium. You fell in by companies and you were inspected by a company officer. The band was out at the front just underneath the stage. The officers were on the stage. And the chaplain came in with his surplice on. The band played a hymn and you had morning service. Catholics were allowed to fall out, of course. They went, I think they had a Catholic chaplain somewhere. And from there on you went to your ordinary instructions. You might have stayed in the gym and done half an hour's PT. You might have gone to the swimming bath, or you'd go through your signals or seamanship classes, or to school.
Yeah.
In your own classrooms.
Now, the training was split up into, it was 3 years, 2 years which was general schooling, and then in the third year you had some trade training, is that
yes.
right?
Yes.
Yeah, so the 2 years schooling consisted of these things you just
yes.
described.
Usually half a day at school and half a day taken up by instruction in seamanship. signals and that sort of thing.
How did you find schooling compared with the school that you'd come from in civilian life?
I think about the same.
Same range of subjects?
Yes. You see, when I left, I see on my certificate I got into Standard 7. I think we went up to Standard 7 in the ordinary elementary schools at home, yeah.
Was any attention paid during this first 2 years in the schooling to sort of military training? I mean by that marching and drill and things like that.
No, very little. We didn't have any rifles, so we couldn't do musketry training. We had no guns, so we couldn't do any gunnery training. Of course, we had to march, but most of it was taken up with seamanship, schooling, and later on the trade.
Were exams a regular feature?
Yes, especially in schooling, and you went up class at a time. See? But then, of course, on entry you set an educational exam, and if you were considered good enough, you went into what they call the upper nautical school, which was almost like an advanced class. And they concentrated more on nautical work, you know, and chart work and navigation, that sort of thing. Those boys certainly got on when they got in the Navy, because the upper nautical boys.
After those first 2 years, when the third trade year came along, you had a kind of trade training which I wouldn't have expected.
I wouldn't
Tell
have
me
expected,
about that.
No. Well, of course, everything was self-supporting in there, you see. You did all your washing was done on the premises, and the laundry, and the boys operated the laundry. And the boys operated the colander room, you know, where they ironed all the sheets and that sort of thing. And then there was boys in the sorting room where all the laundry was sorted, and that which wanted repairing was sent to the laundry repair shop. Well, I got a job in the laundry repair shop. I started off darning socks. I had to darn 6 pairs of socks before Stand Easy, because you had a 10-minute break. I had to run round and let the steam off. And from then I went on to sewing buttons on and making buttonholes and putting patches on, until finally I got into a sewing machine and got to making shirts.
Were there any peculiarly Navy ways of doing any of these jobs you've just described to me?
No, we had an old lady there. We called her Nurse Tocky. I don't know what her name was. She was an ancient, she was as old as any of the figureheads we had in the place, I think. And she just taught us to sew, that's all.
Right. What time did your day end? 8 o'clock, you said?
Yes.
And after the working day was over, how did you spend your evenings?
Well, skating mad. Almost everyone had a pair of roller skates. And the great big area that's now grassed over was tarmac. And there's a gentle slope from the colonnade and the Queen's House right down to the street, the front and the railings. And a great big area, and we used to love
Tell me a bit about life in the dormitories. How big were the dormitories and how were they organised?
Each company, and there were 8 companies really, the 9th company was a Borman Foundation, called them Borman Boys, but they didn't have a dormitory. They were only day students. They eventually finished up in the dockyard, you know, as artificer apprentices and that sort of thing. But so we had 8 dormitories with about 100 boys in each, about 800 boys and 800 or 900 boys in the school altogether. And everyone had his own bed. But the only time you spent there was when you was cleaning it or asleep.
Any other furniture?
Yes, there was one locker at the end full of boots. Now, you lined up every week in your dormitory and you took your boots with you and you held them up in your hands with the soles up almost like that. And the officer inspected them. And if they wanted repairing, he'd get your other set out of the locker and put these in, and they were repaired. They weren't lace shoes, there were buckles with a flap over and 2 buckles that buckled on the side. But that's all they had in there, and there were toilets, of course.
Mm-hmm.
So.
Now, in the life of the dormitory, the petty officer boys that you've already mentioned played a rather important part. Could you tell me a bit more about their behaviours?
Yes, they were very strict. Once you got turned in, you weren't allowed to talk. Obviously, we did a lot of chattering. And the petty officer boy would punish you by telling you to stand on your bed, holding one boot in each hand, and holding your arms out, what we call the letter R in semaphore. And you just stood there with your one boot in each hand until he told you to get down, and it was painful because your arms gradually drooped down on your bed with your boots out. That was one punishment. I don't remember any of us. They used to like that.
Yeah. Mm. Now, I was asking you about life in the dormitories, about its sort of general character and whether there was any parts of it you didn't like.
No, I don't think so.
I wondered if privacy was a problem.
Never been used to it before, anyhow.
Good point. Yes.
Mm. I'd always slept in a room with two brothers at least.
Yeah. What were the common forms of punishment at the hospital school?
I only remember one, and that was common enough because almost every instructor had a little rope's end, and we called it a stonicky, and he was very handy with that. The last one there, the last one who did this, always got the stonicky. If he told you to do something, the last one to get there got the rope's end. But I don't remember any other punishments. I think they would have to be serious before they saw the captain.
Were the stonicky's applied with much vigour?
Yes, plenty. Oh, yes, use them. Hate that thing. I think breaking out of the school would probably be a serious one. That would be punished. But I don't remember anyone ever doing it.
How common was caning?
Only in the school. Only in the schoolroom you get your hands caned like you would in any other school.
I see.
In the classroom.
Fighting, was that punishable?
No, because if you're caught fighting, you had to fight.
How do you mean?
Well, if you're caught fighting, you'd report you to one of the officers who'd drag you into the gymnasium, put you in the ring, and you'd have to fight properly 3 rounds.
That's not bad.
No, yeah. It was a good idea.
On the whole, do you think that the discipline was severe or fair?
It was fair, but it was harsh as well. You see, we hadn't been used to discipline before. It was our first introduction to it when we went to Greenwich School. We'd never been regimented like this before, but we fell into it, and we found out that everything slipped into place and became part of your life. You just did things naturally.
A few things I wanted to ask you about dress. What dress were issued to the schoolboys at Greenwich? Was it a standard seaman's garb?
Yes, standard seaman's clothing, blue serge suit, you know, and collar, cap.
Yeah. Well, do you remember the kind of things you were issued with at the time?
Only the underclothes was just the ordinary flannel shirt that sailors get. I don't ever remember having any underpants. And a blue serge suit. Oh, there were two blue serge suits. One was kept for best. And duck suits, the white duck suits, you know, they were our normal dress during the day.
Why were duck suits called duck suits?
Because they were made of duck, which is a sort of canvas. It's heavier than drill and lighter than canvas. And it's called duck.
I only just realised that, and this is a digression, but you had to wear duck suits for your swimming test, did you not?
No.
Oh, well, that must have applied to the boy training establishments rather than at Greenwich.
Yes, then. you had to swim so many lengths in the duck suit at Shotley, but not at Greenwich, I don't know. You swam naked.
Yeah.